Welcome to SBC This Week. I'm Brandon Porter. Laura Erlandson is here with me. Laura, how's the week going for you?
It is going very well. It's a little weird today. Mm-hmm. I'm actually not with you. I'm very far away.
Yeah.
I am in sunny Florida, and it is very hot and sunny and beautiful here. And I'm recording this at my brother's house. I'm visiting family, and I'm using a mic that he had that is currently sitting on a cake stand so that it's somewhat mouth level for me on the table on a cake stand. Well, and I'm just glad that this is not a video podcast because it looks real goofy.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you're going to have a cake stand, you want it to be mouth level no matter.
That's right. That's right. That's right. It unfortunately does not have a cake on it. Just a mic.
Well, maybe that can be an afternoon project for you.
But I'm having a good time. I'm here visiting my family. My parents have had some issues in the last couple of weeks. My dad recently had surgery, so I'm helping them with a few doctor's appointments and things like that, and just visiting with my siblings. And so we've had a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, your parents may say they've had issues since 1970 something.
Watch it. Huh? Watch it. Yes. Well, they have told me that how glad they are that I'm here. So I have, you know, I can only take them at their word.
Yeah, that's right.
They did have a wasp nest at their front door, though, that resulted in a wasp sting on my forehead when I first got here. Like within an hour of getting here, I'm like, what a welcome. Thanks for that.
Yeah, really. Nothing
says
welcome
home. So now I have a
little
puffy spot on my face from the wasp sting.
Ouch. My goodness.
Once again, another reason why I'm glad that there's no video.
Yeah. Well, we're glad that you're here, and maybe out of your one good eye, you can guide us through this podcast here. So it has been a lot of news this week, a lot of significant news.
Yes. When I was putting it together, I'm like, golly, there's so much going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And so a lot of our focus was out west earlier this week as the Gateway trustee meeting happened. And we saw the sort of the unofficial, official retirement of Dr. Orge, the celebration bit, like it's really happening now on the Gateway level. And so let's talk a bit about that, Laura. On Monday, their trustees met.
They did. And the vote on Adam Groza was unanimous, which is always real encouraging when you see a trustee board that's just in sync like that. And we talked about him when he was first mentioned as the nominee a couple of weeks ago, and now it's official. He is, as of May 13th, he will be the new president of Gateway Seminary, our seminary there on the West Coast. So that was exciting news. The trustee chairman, Phil Kell, said that Groza is a product of Southern Baptist investment in the Western United States. And we're blessed to have a new leader who will continue Gateway's mission of developing leaders in the West for the world. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And Robert White, who was the many of you will remember Robert White, who was the executive director of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board for a long time. He was also the search committee chairman. And he said that it was clear from the first interview that Groza was the guy. And so it was just a neat story. And I look forward to what's going to happen there under his tenure.
Absolutely. So Dr. Groza's promotion to the president's office left a vacancy as he was serving as vice president, and the trustees did not allow that vacancy to be open very long at all.
They did not. In fact, Groza himself said this person was his own choice, his first choice to fill that position. So Kristen Ferguson is the vice president of enrollment and student services. She has effective April 16th. So she is already in that role there now at Gateway. And he said, like I said, Groza said she was his first choice. And she's pretty involved in SBC life in a lot of ways. She's also currently the chairperson of the Committee on Resolutions. So she's about to be real busy as they start getting resolutions in that portal, as we are in the now just real getting geared up for annual meeting. And she's also a research fellow at the ERLC.
All right.
So she's, she's very involved in SBC life. So exciting news for her, too.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, congratulations to those folks. We're excited about what God is doing there at Gateway. Laura, this week we also saw the announcement of another potential candidate to be SBC president. That brings us to six.
Yes.
And, this announcement was Dan Spencer, who is the pastor at First Baptist Church, Sevierville, Tennessee, and Chris Kendall, the pastor at Oak City Baptist Church in Seymour, Tennessee, let us know that he intends to nominate Dan Spencer when we get to Indianapolis in June.
Yeah, and it is actually not unprecedented for us to have six candidates. The last time it happened was in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, not that awfully long ago that we've had a lot of candidates for SBC president. Pastor Kendall said that Dan Spencer is a unifier. He said the past several years, the Southern Baptist Network has been marked by controversy and contention. He said, I believe Dan Spencer is the unifier that would benefit our collective to refocus on what matters most, mm-hmm. the people that God has put before us to reach the gospel and make disciples. Something else that's kind of cool, Dan Spencer is himself a little bit of a textbook Southern Baptist, if you will. He is the great-great-nephew of M.E. Dodd,
right,
who was the father of the cooperative program.
Yeah.
And yep. So that's a little interesting trivia there.
Yep. Has been the president of the Georgia Baptist Convention previously when mm-hmm. he served in Georgia. So, yeah. Then also, well, let's talk before we move on. First Baptist gave $542,915 through the cooperative program. And that is about 9.09% of their undesignated gifts. And then they gave just a little over $659,000 to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering last year, Laura. So very mm-hmm. generous giving there from mm-hmm. Sevierville toward CP causes and to Lottie Moon. All right. Last week, just as we had finished up SBC this week, we got an announcement of a new first vice president candidate. And so we didn't have that in last week's podcast, but we wanted to catch that and make sure we shared that with you here.
Mm-hmm. David Crowther is the second person to be nominated for first vice president of the SBC. He will be nominated by Steve Deighton. Crowther is the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Wichita, Kansas. And Deighton said that he is a young, dynamic leader and one who would thrive in this position of leadership. He's a humble servant leader, a gifted preacher, and a loving shepherd. His nominator, Deighton, is pastor of Lenexa Baptist Church in Lenexa, Kansas. So two Kansas pastors.
Yeah. Yeah. Good deal. Okay. Their church gave, let's see, $72,636 through the cooperative program. That's 5% of their undesignated offerings. They gave almost $26,000 to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and almost $1,000 to the Annie Armstrong offering. So there's some information about CP giving at Lenexa Baptist Church. He joins Michael Cleary as the
Emmanuel. That was Emmanuel Baptist Church. Lenexa is the nominating pastor.
Okay. Sorry
Emmanuel
about that.
Baptist Church is where Crowther is the pastor.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Sorry about that. All right. So he joins Michael Cleary as the only other announced candidate for that post. And let's keep on going now. We're in leadership mode here. All right.
That's right.
So the candidate portion is complete now, so we can move forward here. But next, we want to tell you about Sin Network Espanol and some leadership transition happening there.
Yeah, this is another exciting announcement. So I liked this little part of the story before I say what the development is. The 2020 U.S. Census revealed that the Hispanic population in the United States has grown to more than 62 million people. It's nearly 20% of the population. And so Sin Network has, in 2022, kind of in response to that growth in the Hispanic population, launched Sin Network Espanol. And then just earlier this month, they named a new vice president of Sin Network Espanol, and that's Jose Abela. Mm-hmm. Abela was born and raised here in the U.S. His parents grew up in Cuba and immigrated to the U.S. in the 1960s. But his life, it's sort of kind of just a testimony of living in both of those worlds, the Hispanic world and also the English speaking world. And he says this in the story that we published. He says, "The Lord gripped me at a young age and he's never let go. He's been kind and called me to his service." This is exciting news for Sin Network as well today. A lot of great leadership announcements this week.
Yeah, yeah. The celebration of leadership over at Southeastern Seminary, that's moving forward as they're celebrating 20 years of Danny Aiken's leadership there. And so we are grateful to them for sending a piece that reflects trustee, on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seminary trustee season. And so the Southeast, the Gateway Seminary trustees met. We talked about that. The Southeastern trustees met. They sent us a story. They celebrated Danny Aiken's 20 years at the helm there at Southeastern Seminary. And that was a neat story that was in Baptist Press this week. And then New Orleans Seminary trustees also met this week. And we had a story about that. This was kind of neat. They had a presentation of legacy items from one of their former presidents, a man by the name of W.W. Hamilton. Mm. And he was the president from 1928 to 1942. So he led the seminary through the Great Depression. And it says that sometimes they would there was very few students, very little faculty. There was only 5 faculty members, and that the faculty and students would share a table in the dining hall and just share whatever food they had.
Wow.
Because there was just nothing. And so W.W. Hamilton led through that whole era. And during that time, the seminary has kind of had a nickname. And this was during that time that it got this nickname called the School of Providence and Prayer.
Yeah.
And so they received a gift from his family. And the things that were in the presentation are like a handwritten, unpublished history that he wrote, a personal letter that he received from George W. Truett, copies of his published work, and then other items from W.W. Hamilton. So that was a cool little feature there of the trustee meeting at New Orleans Seminary.
Yeah, well, very interesting. I've heard that phrase, the School of Providence and Prayer, for a long time, and didn't necessarily know the story. So
yeah,
neat to learn that. Very cool. All right. So Indianapolis, Laura, in the exhibit hall, Lifeway has reimagined their space, and I think folks are going to love it.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see it. There's going to be a more detailed story in BP as we get closer to June, but this week, the Ben Mandrell, Lifeway president, talked with Jonathan Howe about kind of what Lifeway's planning for the annual meeting there in Indy. And one of the cool things was kind of a whole relaunch of the Lifeway exhibit space in the exhibit hall. And if you've been to the annual meeting, of course, it's the biggest footprint in there. It's this huge store, essentially. But there's also always Lifeway employees there to help people find the right ministry tools. But this year, instead of it, what Min Mandrell called the closeout sale look, that's what he said it has looked like in the past, which is pretty accurate.
That's true.
But this year, it's going to be much more curated and much more of like different zones for different types of ministry. So a music zone, a education and discipleship zone, a zone for lead pastors. And then there's going to be people in each zone helping each particular type of ministry leader find the products that are most helpful to them in their context. And so I'm really anxious to see what that looks like. They also said they're going to have free coffee in their booth. So I'll probably be making a visit, even if only for that reason. So
yeah, Ben Mandrell can be found in the coffee zone.
That's right. That's where I will be found as well.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Well, as you are probably well aware, there was sort of a new chapter, is the way I heard one commentator call it, in the happenings in the Middle East, the war that's going on there between Israel and Hamas, as Iran joined into that just in a very formal, direct way last weekend. And Brent Leatherwood weighed into that, calling on the Biden administration to take action. He says, continuing to dither is not an option. Now is the time to show the world that America will not stand idly by while our friends face down threats from terrorists and regimes bent on the destruction of innocent lives. And so, Laura, we had a story that came out late in the weekend that featured some quotes from Brent Leatherwood and also from President Bart Barber. And so that's at Baptist Press, if you'd like to go and read that. And just we continue to pray for that situation and track forward what's going on there in that just a tumultuous time in the Middle East.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The ERLC is also, so we're recording this on Friday, April the 19th. On April the 22nd, which is Monday, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So Monday the 22nd at 1 o'clock Central Time, the ERLC is hosting an event with Brent Leatherwood and Dan Darling, who is the director of the Land Center for Cultural Engagement. And Laura, that, mm-hmm. that webinar is free and folks can register mm-hmm. for it.
It is.
And it has
a banner on the ELC website that for you to click on the banner and it'll take you right to the registration page.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has to do with Christian political engagement in 2024 and beyond. And so they're certainly going to deal with the political climate surrounding the election, but they're also going to be talking about just topics that will be relevant, that sort of that and beyond point, like the new pro-life battle that's happening mm-hmm. now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned
and in the states.
That's right. So mm-hmm. So it will be focused on the election, but and the season around the election, but also more wide ranging. So I encourage you to go to erlc.com and sign up for that and be a part of that that webinar and hear what those folks have to say next week. So Laura, also cultural news, interesting about mm-hmm. Gen Z and just sort of their increase in Bible reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that Diana Chandler at Baptist Press will run these pretty regular features or pretty regular news items about the state of the Bible release of this research that they do every year. And they just talk about people's engagement with the Bible and what they see from their research. And so this year, it was interesting. Gen Z is the least engaged with the Bible. However, last year, 50% of Gen Z adults agreed that the message of the Bible has transformed their lives. Hmm. And this year, 54% said that. So that's a pretty significant jump. More than half of Gen Z adults say that the Bible has transformed their lives. And they show an interest in learning about the Bible. And so while they may not be scripturally engaged right now, they certainly could be if the opportunity presented itself. And so, yeah, it was a little encouraging and interesting and maybe some cause for hope.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find that full story. Like I say, the Gen Z portion is just one portion. There's a lot to it. So mm-hmm. So encourage folks to go there. Also a story, the United Methodist General Conference begins next week in Charlotte. Lots of things going on in the United Methodist world. And so mm-hmm. A little bit of a preview story that we have at Baptist Press, but then also just throwing that out there for folks to keep their ears open as next week happens. And mm-hmm. then Laura Nam hosted a women's evangelism conference focused on creating a culture of evangelism.
That's right. We had some good missions and evangelism stories in BP mm-hmm. this week. We're just going to talk about a couple of them here. But more than 300 women from across the United States and Canada came to NAM for this conference earlier this month. And they heard from Catherine Renfro, who's the National Director of Women's Evangelism at NAM, as well as Lynette Ezell, Kevin Ezell's wife and an evangelist in her own right. Christine Hoover, who's the Women's Ministry Associate at the Austin Stone Community Church in Austin, Texas. Missy Branch, that's stranger to Baptist Press. We've written a lot about her over the years. She is now the Vice President of Community Engagement at Stand for Life. She also led a session there. Catherine Renfro there at NAM said that the goal is to equip women to serve, to be confident and comfortable to share Jesus with everything they come across. Mm. And I love reading about this event every year. One of these years, I'm going to actually get to go to it. We'll see. But that was an encouraging story there from NAM. And then we also had two or three great stories from IMB this week. I could pick one to talk about here today. And this one, also, once again, I say this every time, but it has really great photos. So mm-hmm. go check them out. IMB always has great photos. But it talks about Sonia and James Heron, who live they're missionaries in Uganda, mm-hmm. and they're night guard that works at their complex where they live told them about this colony of lepers nearby that just needed the gospel, and they didn't have any access to healthcare or anything, and he knew that these missionaries, the Herons, would help, and so mm-hmm. they went out there. They said when they went to Uganda that they never thought they would be working among a leper colony, but here's where they have found themselves. And Sonia Herons said, "This is not an area that we initially saw, but if you're willing, you can always find opportunities to join God where he is at work." and where people have needs that you have not even thought of. And so it was just a really, I would encourage everybody to go read that story. What a neat story about missionaries just going where God's already doing something.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Laura, you know, we're just kind of babysitting this podcast, and I think our time is getting shorter on the babysitting assignment. And if you've ever, is it babysitted or babysat? I don't know what the right word would
sat.
Be.
Babysat. Okay. I'm a professional.
Okay. All right.
Just kidding. No, I only babysat like three times ever.
So, you know, I mean, you can't go into that home and rearrange the furniture. I mean, it's just, you can have some ideas of what you would do, but you shouldn't just rearrange the folks' place.
That's right. Yeah.
So I've kind of thought about that with this podcast that we're babysitting it. And, but I've thought about segments over time. And this next little thing that we have here, this would have been a neat thing to add in, just called helpful things you've heard this week.
Right? Yeah.
Helpful things you've heard this week. So here's two that we'll get quickly. One of them comes from that Danny Akin article that we mentioned earlier, celebrating 20 years of ministry. And so I'll take this one and then you can take the second one. How about that?
Okay.
So in that piece, Danny Akin said, "Let the Lord exalt you, surround yourself with godly and gifted people, be laser focused on God, on who God has called you to be. Only fight the battles that need to be fought. All that matters in life is that you please Jesus." And so just very helpful to hear that, to think about that in life and in ministry. And then the second one, Laura, comes from our very own Jonathan Howe.
That's right. This started out as a thread on X, formerly Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of expanded it the next day into a first person and we ran it. I do think it was really helpful.
Yeah.
Because he talks about the fact that there are now six candidates for SBC president, and how this is really a good thing for the SBC. He says people are joking about it, but beneath the surface lies a more profound challenge.
Yeah.
At the heart of the matter lies a fundamental aspect of Baptist identity, which is the belief that we are being led by the Spirit. We believe in the priesthood of the believer, and that we are led by the Spirit as individuals. And it's not, for Baptists, he said, it's not just a theological concept, it's a guiding principle that shapes how we navigate matters of leadership and governance within our convention. And so these people that are coming forward to be nominated feel that the Lord has led them to do that. Whether or not they win, they're still doing what the Lord has called them to do. But he said it's easy for us to kind of go in autopilot when it comes to voting and just kind of vote for the person that represents our camp or whatever. When you have this many candidates, it's harder to do that.
Yeah.
And so you really need to kind of look at the nuance of their differences and how they believe, how they think about certain convention issues that they face. And so it's a good opportunity for us to kind of drill down and figure out what these candidates stand for, what positions are, and what, rather than just blindly voting for somebody that you on the surface maybe align with, really, really look into it and consider the issues. So I thought that was really helpful. And
absolutely. Yep. It's very good. Very good. Appreciate him writing that and letting us post it. So, All right. That brings us to our history moment, Laura, from this week back in 1949.
It's funny because now almost all of our history moments, I feel like, are going to be annual meeting related, because that's what they were talking about in Baptist Press.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of time. All this about annual meetings.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
And so, this is from April 21st, 1949. So this is days for BP. This is where BP is just beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a story about an invention, essentially, or a really, really good idea brought to us by, the director of the SBC's radio commission. And this man named Jack Rowan solved a problem that they had the previous year. So apparently in 1948, so many pastors had brought these personal recording devices to the annual meeting and had them setting up on the podium so that they could record the proceedings and take it back home and play for their churches, which I thought, what a cool thing. You know, this was new technology back then. It was very hard to, I would think, to come by a recorder back then, but they did. So they had them on the podium but it became very cumbersome because there were so many on the podium. So it says it would have been possible for messengers of the annual meeting in Oklahoma City to even see the speakers under a mass of wire recorder microphones. And so they had to come up with a solution. So they decided to put one good microphone on the podium and then run a cable into another room where that was being broadcast on a speaker. And then you could put your recording devices in that other room.
Okay.
And they said, so a central microphone would be on the podium and then a special room set aside for wire recorders. And it would be a better recording than what would have been possible through the recorder's own microphone.
Wow.
And so it was a really elegant solution, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And this made me think of like Jonathan and Wayne, the IT guy at the SBC, mm-hmm. Chris, who works in our comms department. These are the kind of things that they still do. Like these kind of problems that people have. Now, of course, they have a molt box and all the media that come in have to plug into the molt box. But this is the kind of stuff that we've been dealing with now all these years, like 60 years, we've been dealing with, okay, how do we handle new technology as it comes along? How do we adapt to make it convenient for everyone? You had to pay $2.50 to put your recorder in the special room,
okay,
which is, I figured out, is roughly about $31 in today's money. So not too bad. Not too bad. Pretty affordable. But I just thought that was really cool. And I love that pastors were wanting to record it and take it home to play for their churches.
Yeah. Interesting. Very neat. Of course, today we're working to enhance the app and we're talking about Bluetooth and
that's right. And now we live stream it. So everybody can just go watch it whenever they want. You don't have to have your pastor record it for you. You can just go watch it. It's just neat.
It is.
I love it.
Yeah. Very good. Always trying to bring the convention to the churches, to the people of the churches. That's who we are.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that we don't want to ever forget that. So we always want to be serving them.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, very good. Well, thank you, Laura. We hope that wasp sting gets better.
Me too. Can, my goodness.
Yeah. Hope you can get something on that cake plate other than a microphone. And
Yeah. I hope so too. All of those things. This has been a busy week at Baptist Press, a busy week for both of us personally too. Just a lot going on. And there's no signs of slowing down because Indy is coming. It's coming real fast. So, but as always, we had a lot more happen in Baptist Press this week than we had even had time to talk about today. And you can find all of this and much more at baptistpress.com. Thanks for listening.